KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Clear skies, 3 degrees below zero in Atlantic. We look forward to be clear to partly cloudy today, a high of 12. Wind chill advisory still in effect for a few area counties, including Cass, Adair, Madison, Adams, Union, Taylor, Ringgold, Crawford, Carroll, Ottawa, Guthrie, and Dallas, and that is in effect until 9 a.m. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Police in Creston today report 3 arrests over the past week, including one person who was arrested twice on drug-related charges. Officials say last Tuesday, 28-year-old Cody Vandell of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for felony controlled substance violation. Vandell was being held in the Union County Jail on $175,000 bond. He was arrested again on Friday at the Union County Jail on a warrant charging him with violation of his pretrial release associated with 3 original counts of a controlled substance violation. Also on Friday, 29-year-old Ashley Johnson of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for a probation violation, failure to appear. Johnson was being held without bond in the Union County Jail. And on Sunday, 45-year-old Skeet Miller of Creston was arrested on a simple domestic assault charge. Miller was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting bond. Creston police said also the Walmart store in Creston reported last week that sometime between 7:15 p.m. and 7:35 p.m. on Monday, January 11th, a woman entered the store and had several prepaid debit cards loaded with funds and then didn't pay for them. The cost was, loss was estimated at $2,300. Elsewhere in area news this morning, members of the City of Atlantic's Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors will meet this evening in the City Council's chambers at City Hall beginning at 5:15. On their agenda are updates on the 2017 budget proposal, the Kitty Corral at Sunnyside Park, boat ramp project near the Shulberg Rec area, the Bull Creek Schuler Elementary School Trail, a Transportation Alternatives Program grant for Lake Number 2 at the Shulberg Rec area, a Cass County Community Foundation grant request, Vision Iowa grant, and an update on the online shelter reservation system. Old Business will cover an update on the Nishna Valley Connector Trail. And in his report to the Parks Board, Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring is expected to talk about the parking lot installation of the dog park of the Shulberg Rec area, as well as remind the public that Sunnyside Park remains open to sledding, disc golf, and walking. The gates to the park remain closed to vehicle traffic, however. The Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce will host its annual dinner on Saturday, January 23rd at the Cass County Community Center. Chamber Executive Director Wita Hargens said she always looks forward to the annual dinner, adding that it's a great opportunity for us to reflect on what we've accomplished, look forward to what we will accomplish, and most of all, highlight our volunteers and chamber members that have invested their time and money back into the organization and our community. The dinner will be catered by Atlantic Hy-Vee and is open to the entire community. Tickets are available for purchase at the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce for $25 per person or $200 for a table. The chamber will be talking about accomplishments not only of the chamber but the community in 2015. For the upcoming new year, goals and campaign Explore, Discover, and Share for 2016 will be introduced. And the chamber will be honoring successful businesses, organizations, individual leaders in the community during the event as well. Awards will be presented for Business of the Year, Community Betterment, Distinguished Service Award, Ambassador of the Year, Volunteer of the Year, and Educator of the Year. The Chamber will also be recognizing new board members for the 2016 year, Dan Maiman, Scott Bennett, and Jennifer Miller. The annual dinner is sponsored by Detter Motors, and will begin at 6 p.m. with a social followed by the dinner at 6:30. Two more presidential hopefuls will be in southwest Iowa on Tuesday. According to the Omaha World-Herald, Republican candidate Carly Fiorina will host a meet-and-greet in Avoca. That event will run from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Embers Restaurant on Tuesday. It's open to the public. Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders will be in Underwood. He'll speak at 3 p.m. Tuesday at the UMBA Hall. Doors for that event open at 2 p.m. Former Arkansas governor and current Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee will be in the KJAN listening area this week. Huckabee will address the Douglas County, Nebraska Republican Party during an event 6 p.m. Tuesday at the Ramada Plaza Omaha Hotel and Convention Center. Wednesday, he'll have a Huckabee huddle stops in Harlan, Carroll, Wall Lake, and Cherokee. And on Thursday, he'll be in Sioux City. Schedule Wednesday includes from 8:30 until 10 a.m. at the American Legion Hall in Harlan. The topic there will be Values and Veterans Matter. And then from 11:30 until 1 p.m. on Wednesday, he'll be at the Central Church Youth Center in Carroll. Additional times and places for his visits can be found under this same story at the news page at KJAN.com. Three legislative coffees have been scheduled in Cass County for the 2016 session. The coffees will be held in February, March, and April. Officials with Pride, Progressive Rural Iowa Development Enterprise, have announced the first coffee will take place 10 a.m. Saturday, February 6th, at the Cumberland Fire Station. Barney is the second host on Saturday, March the 5th at 10 a.m. at the Community Center. The final coffee of the legislative session will be held Saturday, April 2nd, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Lewis Community Library. Pride is sponsoring the legislative coffees. The economic development organization works on behalf of communities, businesses, and citizens for Southwest Iowa development. A Northwestern Iowa woman accused of intentionally crashing the car she was driving into another vehicle has been charged with attempted murder and other counts. 28-year-old Melissa Ebert was charged last Thursday with two counts each of attempted murder, willful injury, and causing serious injury by vehicle. Ebert is also charged with one count of driving while intoxicated, second offense. Her attorneys say that she will plead not guilty when she's arraigned on February 1st. Prosecutors say Ebert threatened to kill herself and her passenger before purposely veering her car into the path of an oncoming vehicle on September the 9th. That collision severely injured Ebert, her passenger, and the driver of the other car. Governor Terry Branstad's budget recommendations for the upcoming fiscal year leave out direct funds for a bullying prevention office that he created months ago via executive order. Branstad didn't direct general fund money to the Center for Violence Prevention at the University of Northern Iowa in his recent budget proposal. The center, which had requested $250,000, was tasked with managing the governor's office for bullying prevention. A Branstad spokesman said the governor expects the center to be funded under his proposed $8 million request of new money for the Board of Regents, which oversees Iowa's three public universities. The school sought a combined $20 million in new funding, separate from the bullying office. A UNI spokesman declined to comment on whether UNI would use some of that funding for the bullying office. And Iowa's corn crop and many other key commodities would be threatened by hot, dry conditions if certain weather patterns continue to develop. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says even though the El Nino pattern is still strong over the entire country right now, there are likely changes on the horizon.
If you look at all of the moderate to strong El Ninos that we have over the last 75 years or so, they are almost always followed by a fairly quick transition to La Nina. It's almost as if there's like a boomerang effect.
We're now experiencing the third super El Nino weather pattern since the early 1980s, and if the pattern holds, a La Nina pattern could soon emerge and bring drought conditions.
We're pretty confident, and even the two dozen or so models that try to forecast the ocean and atmospheric states looking ahead to the summer will be in either neutral or La Nina conditions by the middle to latter part of 2016.
Rippey said the La Nina pattern in 1998 never reached Iowa or other Midwestern states, but it had an impact on the southern tier of states, bringing very dry conditions that had a major impact on crops. Signs point to a repeat, according to Rippey.
In 1983, we saw a very wet spring, nearly coast to coast. But in July and August, as we quickly transitioned into La Nina, we saw a very hot, dry weather pattern develop across the American Midwest that led to significant yield declines in crops, including corn.
It's still too early to pinpoint exactly where the hot, dry conditions will land, but he said the farmers need to be aware. And authorities have identified the mother and three children who were killed in a house fire in the central Iowa town of Boxholm. Rick Lampe with the Boone County Sheriff's Department said 27-year-old Amber Sorensen, 9-year-old Riley Sorensen, 6-year-old Autumn Sorensen, and 4-year-old Braden Sorensen all died in the fire. The fire in the Boone County town created challenges for firefighters because of frigid conditions. The fire was reported around 12:45 a.m. Sunday when the temperature was 6 degrees below zero in the town of about 200. The victims' bodies were recovered at around 2:15 a.m. Sunday. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.